If you would, this morning, to the book of Esther. We'll continue our study of the book of Esther. Right before the book of Job. Now, the first nine verses, we kind of set the stage and gave some introductory remarks about the book of Esther, and we looked at the two feasts that Ahasuerus did. The first one went 180 days for his nobles, and then he had another feast for everybody for 7 days. He made an immoral request. He was actually going to, it appears that he was going to expose his wife in an immodest way to some of the people there in the kingdom because he had gotten drunk during these feasts. And then in verse 10 through 12, we looked at the fact that something remarkable happened that was very unusual in that ancient civilization. The queen, Vashti, refused to come and to be exposed. That was not the normal order of things. Back in that day, women had no rights. They couldn't refuse their husband on any grounds, whether it was immoral or not. And yet, Vashti said, I'm not doing that. It's not right. And I applaud her for that. Because I don't think that women should do things that are ungodly and unholy that their husband may say for them to do. It shouldn't. No. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You're to protect and nourish and encourage and sanctify your wife, not expose her. And so she refused. And, boy, I tell you what, it caused quite a ruckus. And that's where we're at today, verse 12. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth. That means he was hot. He was mad. And his anger burned in him. Then the king said to the wise men, which knew the times, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew law and judgment. The next unto him was Carshena, Shethar, Admatha, Tarshish, Merez, Marsena, Memucan, the seven princes of Persia and Media, which saw the king's face and which sat the first in the kingdom. These were all his top guys. And he looked to them for counsel about what he should do. He was mad. And here's what they counseled. He asked, what shall we do unto the Queen Vashti according to law? Because she hath not performed the commandment of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlains. What are we going to do about this situation? Because he understood that his actions influenced his subjects. You know, anybody in a position of authority needs to learn that. Whether you're managing a store or a farm or a machine shop, you better realize that if you are placed in a position of leadership and authority, people are going to follow your example, good or bad. And so the king understood this principle. He asked counsel And Memucan answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the people that are in the provinces of the king Ahasuerus. In other words, he's saying her response, her refusal to come, is a wrong done to the entire kingdom. Partly due to the fact of the position she occupied as the queen. Verse 17, for this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes, when it shall be reported, the king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came not. Saying, her example, when everybody else hears about this, there's going to be a revolution. Well, we got to get this straightened out. Verse 18, likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto all the king's princes which have heard of the deed of the queen, thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath. You don't want a bunch of women mad in society, but you're going to have real problems. Verse 19, if it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. Okay? We're going to... The solution to this problem, we're setting her aside. She's no longer queen. We're going to put somebody in her place that's better than her. That's what basically it says here. And when the king's decree which he shall make shall be published throughout all the empire, for it is great, all the wives shall give to their husbands honor, both to great and small. And the saying pleased the king and the princes, and the king did according to the word of Memucan. For he sent letters into all the king's provinces, into every province. Remember, there's 127 of them. This is a large kingdom. And to every people after their language, that every man should bear rule in his own house, and that it should be published according to the language of every people. So what you have in these verses is the king's response. He got mad. He asked for some advice, and the wise men of his kingdom, their counsel. So let's just go through this. The king became very angry when Vashti didn't come at his beck and call. But I think there's something even more to why he got so angry. You go back to first causes. Remember where I said last week about intoxication and abusing alcohol? The king was acting like an idiot. He was drunk. He wasn't thinking right. And a lot of times, alcohol can really inflame the passions of men and women and make them angry. I think it's one of the reasons why you have a lot of domestic abuse. Men get drunk and they beat their wives and their children. And you hear stories of it all the time. It has a lasting effect. He was angry because not only was he in a drunken stupor and requested something that was foolish and wicked. But on top of that, his wife refused. He was embarrassed by the action of his wife in front of the most important men of his kingdom. All that men would learn a lesson. Don't ask your wife to do something wicked, immodest, or stupid in front of people. Don't, anytime, but especially not in front of, there people are feasting everywhere. Hey, I think it'd be a good idea. Let's have my wife come out and show herself. Oh yeah, it's a great idea. No, it was a lousy idea. Wrong, sinful, wicked. Tells you something about this king. He ruled over 127 provinces, but he had no rule over his own spirit. He had no self-discipline. And it was obvious that he did not have the right kind of authority with regards to his wife. So he sought the counsel of the wise men. Some of these men were astrologers who looked at the signs and the stars, which is an idolatrous thing. You don't look to stars in order to try to tell the future. You look in the Word of God. You look at what God's Word says. You believe it. You act upon it. I've never trusted anything. You know, if you ever have read... When I was a kid, I used to read the horoscopes, you know, and I'd read, mine was Leo, the lion. And it seemed like all the time it was telling me, yeah, I am brave. Yeah, I'm courageous. I'm going to be courageous today. It's garbage. You know, it's not real. Well, the king sought the counsel of these wise men, and one of them rose up and gave his opinion and his advice. And really, Memucan, what he said under normal circumstances would be justifiable. This wasn't normal circumstances, but what he explained was, listen, you know, there's a certain order. Listen, even the heathen understood the order of the home. There is something that God placed in humanity, in the home, long ago. There's a principle there. There is an order in the home. And you mess that up, and you can mess up society. It's what's happening today. In our world. I mean, you think about the nonsense. They're trying to completely do away not only with the home and the order of the home, husband, wife, children. Think about what's happening. The family unit among blacks, whites, Latinos, Asians are still staying together pretty, but you look at the overall in society, families, the family unit, as instructed in the Bible, it is almost a thing of the past, except among Christian people who believe the Bible. But now they've gone beyond that and saying, there's no distinction between men and women. And if you decide you want to become, if you're a man and you decide you want to become a woman, you can change your gender. I'm here to tell you, it's a lie. You can't change your DNA. I don't care how many surgeries Bruce Jenner has. His DNA, he's still a man. I might say he was a better looking man than he is a man portraying a woman, by the way. I mean, that's the thing. I looked at that. They got somebody, they're bragging about the cabinet, all these people that are transgenders in our government. And that dude, something with Health and Human Services, Levin, that guy is ugly as a mud fence as a woman. And, I mean, it boggles my mind. It's unnatural. It's unholy. But this is what's happening. It's what's trending in our society. It affects little kids. Because they make it, the media, the educational, all this is a wonderful thing. It's diversity and inclusion. No, it's immorality and perversion of God's order. And you know what's happening? Families are being destroyed on account of it. The ramifications of all this, by the way, we've got people high up in our government that are applauding the idea of gender reassignment surgery for young children and puberty blockers. Because a kid says, yeah, I think it'd be cool to... No, I didn't let my kids do everything they said was cool when they were little. In fact, sometimes I would have said, that's stupid. Don't do it again. Now, I shouldn't have been that forward, but I was, all right? And it's wrong. You got to have adults. Because kids sometimes they make really stupid decisions. And you don't applaud that in the name of diversity. You say, well, that ain't right, man. We're going to get this thing straightened out. But he offered the advice. And he said no woman should be an example of rebellion to other women. And that's true. In fact, the Bible says the aged women should provide an upright example for younger women to follow. Titus 2. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That's a biblical principle that ought to be followed in a Christian home. Memucan knew that the power of suggestion was very strong. He knew that if Vashti was allowed to publicly rebel against her husband, who was the king of a vast empire, it would serve as an encouragement and a license for all the women of the kingdom to treat their husbands in a similar manner. And it's why he offered the counsel that he gave to the king. Now, I said under normal circumstances, it was good counsel, but these weren't normal circumstances. Because they had asked her to do something immoral. Here's something so amazing to me, how God works out. He uses man's depravity and channels it to fulfill his own purposes. So he advises Memucan that Vashti the queen be made a public example by putting her away and filling her office with another beautiful woman. So he gives the king counsel basically to divorce his wife for supposed disobedience, and that's unlawful. The king then sends letters to all the subjects of the kingdom which stated that women should honor their husbands. The reason why Memucan suggested that Vashti be put away was because he knew that if she would be restored to the king when he was sober, the wrath of the queen would be against him. The wives of kings in eastern countries had a degree of power that was often exercised against those who opposed them in some way. Later, we're going to see that it was the influence of Esther over her husband that led to the demise of Haman, who was second to the king in power and wealth in the kingdom. So, let's not underestimate the power of a woman, even in this heathen country. We're going to see this as the story unfolds. Now, I want to draw some practical conclusions about the whole chapter thus far. One thing that really sticks out to me, and part of this, I've said it so many times, you probably get tired of hearing it from me. I have a decided prejudice, bias against alcohol. Because I know what it's done to me. I know what it did to me. I know what it's done to my family. I've seen the effects that it's had, an overreaching effect on our society. The thing that strikes me about this whole scenario, we see the evils, the evil effects of drunkenness. How many homes have been broken because of that liquid devil? I say no good can come of private or social consumption of intoxicating beverages. That's my opinion. Privately, it sets a poor example for those within your household. And socially, it tarnishes your testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. We would do well to apply the admonition of 1 Thessalonians 5, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. That's why I'm against it. Secondly, the duty of a husband is to love, nourish, cherish, and protect his wife. Not expose her. It's wrong for men to request that their wives do things immorally or immodestly. You see, even in this heathen kingdom, this broke up this king's marriage. Don't expose your wife. It was his fault. It was not her fault. It was his fault. Number three, when the order of the home is in chaos, the nation will be in chaos and in perplexity as well. Esther 3:15, but the city Shushan was perplexed. We're going to see this later on. You get things out of order in the home, it affects the whole society. We're living it today. There are things going on today that were unthinkable when I was a kid. Deviance, perversion, that the media, the government, the educational system has said, this is what we want to portray as normal. And it's sinful. And yet, people take it hook, line, and sinker. I'm not going to. And it's going to cost you if you stand against this cultural revolution. I guarantee you it's going to cost you. This is a problem in modern day America, where broken homes, divorce, and single-parent families are fast becoming the norm rather than the exception. Until we get our homes back in biblical order and under the authority of the Word of God, there is little hope for our country. Think about this. The NEA, the National Education Association, the union, is actually teaching teachers how to deceive parents and keep things from them. You can't have an educational system like that, where you pit kids against their own parents, trying to deceive them. Number four, the last, God sometimes uses the behavior of the wicked to work out His sovereign purpose in providence. The king's pride, drunkenness, immoral desires, and unholy request respecting his wife, they were all sins that he's going to be held accountable for at the great white throne judgment. The rebellion of Vashti and her refusal to appear before the king was a serious and unexplainable breach of Eastern custom. It was usual for women to comply and submit to even the most base requests of their husbands, especially when they were married to the king of the Persian Empire. Yet God used all these events to bring about the exaltation of Esther the Jew to be queen, so that the Jewish race would be preserved. And ultimately the Christ would come through the nation of Israel. Proverbs 19:21, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Sorry I went a little over today, but you'll get over it. We're dismissed.